So my topic that I felt like God wanted me to share today is, are you carrying or are you being carried? So we're going to look at Isaiah 46 today. We're going to read that together if you have your Bible. It's only 13 verses long, so we're going to do the whole thing. But to calm your fears, usually when I speak, I have like 6 pages, and today I have 2 pages, so don't worry. All right, so Isaiah 46. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. The images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you who I have upheld since you were conceived. Can you believe that? Since we were conceived. I've carried you since your birth. Verse 4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. That's a promise. Isn't that awesome? Verse 5. To whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god. They bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place. There it stands. From that spot it cannot move. Though one cries out to it, it does not answer. It cannot save him from his troubles. Remember this. Fix it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God. There is no other. I am God. There is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. Verse 12. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are far from righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away. My salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel. So the other day, I just kind of opened my Bible and I was reading this in my devotions, crackling a little bit. And I really felt God was talking to me through it about some stuff in my life, so I'm just going to share with you kind of what he showed me and have you ask yourself the same questions. So in the first two verses, he's explaining about how idols were carried. Okay, so they would have this big, heavy thing, and it would be on beasts of burden, or basically like some type of ox or goat would have to carry it if it was a heavy one. And it weighed the person down who was carrying it. How many of you know sometimes we're carrying stuff that weighs us down? All right, so in the first two verses, we see the picture of them carrying a heavy idol around, and that's their god. They worship it. Sometimes we put things in our lives before God, and it makes us, what this says, a captive. We might think that that thing is going to help us, right? We do things, we think it's going to help us, but it just weighs us down. And I really felt like for me, God was speaking to me that for me, some of the heavy stuff that we carry is worry. We worry about all kinds of things, and our worry idols all look different, right? Because we're all different. And that's what this is saying. They make it. It's an idol of their own making, their own design. We all have something a little different in mind when we talk about worrying. Just to give you an illustration, I
I took the kids to a playground the other day, and there were some little kids running around playing, and the one little boy looked at me and he said, "Oh, I wish my mom was here. She's working right now," and he told me where she works. And I said, "Oh, you know, I'm sorry that she's not here." And I said, you know, I was just asking him, you know, he said she's a hairstylist. I said, "Oh, which one does she work at?" You know, and he told me. And all of a sudden, the dad started yelling. And he's like, "What are you giving out our information for?" And I was like, "Oh, my goodness." Like, I didn't think, like, for me, I was like, if my kid said where I worked, it wouldn't be a big deal. And so he took his son aside, and he was scolding him. And I was thinking, man, this guy is paranoid, you know. And later, he came over to me, and he said, "Sorry about that." He said, "A friend of mine, their daughter just got taken." And he said, "I'm scared to death that's going to happen to my kids." And I'm like, well, I would feel that way too. You know, like if one of my friends had their daughter taken and they're looking for her, they still can't find her. And so I told him I'd be praying for his friend. But I was like, how true is that? That we see each other and we're like, boy, she worries a lot about that. Or man, he is like, you know, that's his focus and that's all he thinks about. But we don't know what each other have been through or what our circumstances are, so we can't look at each other and say that. Like for me, I've had, you know, people somewhat close to me lose babies, you know, that have been born and whatever. And then, of course, before you leave the hospital, you have to watch this horrible video about babies that die for no reason, SIDS, they call it, right? And so I come home and I'm like all night checking to make sure the baby's breathing. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Why am I so paranoid? But it's a worry of my own making, from my surroundings, from our experiences. So we all have something different that we carry. And so we keep heaping on these things on us that we're carrying, and the Lord doesn't want us to do that. I remember, I think I was a teenager, Dad was the assistant pastor, and he was doing one of his very first sermons. He was really nervous about it, I remember, because he was practicing it at home. But I still remember the sermon because it was a great illustration. He had bricks from our house, and he had a backpack on, and he had someone just putting bricks in, and it kept getting heavier and heavier. And he was illustrating how that's what we do. You know, we keep picking things up until our load is so heavy that we're so weighed down we can't move forward, right? And the Lord wants us to move forward. So he doesn't give us those things to carry. Matthew 11, you guys know this scripture really well. It says, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So it says that he reveals these things to children. So if we're children at heart, we don't think we know what's best, right? Kids are always asking, "What should I do about this, mommy?" We should always be looking to our Father to see what he wants us to do. And also having that simple childlike trust that he is protecting us, taking care of us, and he has our best interests at heart. When we worry, in contrast to having that childlike heart, we think, "Oh, I have to do something about this. I have to fix this." Or I can, you know, like me feeling if the baby's breathing. Me doing that isn't keeping her breathing, is it? It's not changing anything. It's just making me feel better, right? I just have to trust that God is taking care of me and my kids. So instead of trying to figure it out ourselves and thinking that we're wise, we can be like children and just trust our Father and relax in him. It says Jesus was given all things to do. That sounds like a heavy load, doesn't it? Right? We're talking about all this stuff we're carrying. Jesus was carrying all things, but he wasn't stressed about it. Why? Because he knew his father was committed to him. What he had committed to him to do, he wasn't going to do on his own. That's what this whole illustration is, where it says, come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because, you know, a yoke has two holes, right? One for the one ox and one for the other, and they're yoked together. And that's the illustration he's giving here, is that you carrying a load by yourself, you're not going to get anywhere. But when we come to him, he yokes himself with us, and he promises to stick with us, right? They can't be separated. It's not like one ox can go one way and one can go another, right? You're yoked together. You're stuck together, and he's going to go with us and help us carry the load and take the heaviness from us. So now we know we can handle it because he's doing it, and we can lean on him. So I like this saying. I had it on my wall when I was a teenager because, you know, I was worried about the future, whatever. Was I ever going to get married? Where was I going to go to college? Those aren't my worries now, but we all, you know, have things that we think about with the future. It says, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I love that saying, and I remind myself of it sometimes when I start to worry. So that's the first thing that I feel like God wants to deal with us today, is with our worries. So at the end of service, we're going to ask God, what is it we're carrying in the area of worry that he doesn't want us to carry? So the next two verses talk about God's promise. Like we said, he says, I've upheld you since you were conceived, carried you since your birth, and even to your old age and gray hairs, I will carry you. This is awesome, right? He promises to carry us. We aren't meant to carry things. We're made to be carried by our Father. He promises he'll always rescue us and be there for us no matter what comes, so we can rest in him. But we have to allow ourselves to be carried, right? Like if you have a little child, they come to you, put their arms up, you can pick them up. How many of you know a child that does not want to be carried is hard to carry? A child that does not want to cross the street is hard to get across the street. You know, they're flailing and yanking and throwing themselves on the ground, so you have to drag them. We have to allow ourselves to be carried. We have to position ourselves in such a way that our Father can do that for us. All right, so the next one is the one I want to go into detail on. Verses 5 through 7 talk about making a God. They carried it on their shoulders, they put it up on there, and they're crying out to it. Kind of like the, you know, when we're talking about with Baal, how the worshipers were cutting themselves and going crazy, and Baal never answered, right? But we have idols of our own making, like I said. They all look a little different based on our circumstances or our needs or what we think will satisfy us. And sometimes we would never think that I would worship an idol, right? We're like, no, I love God. I put him first. And, you know, sometimes I'll write up my priorities and I'm always like, God is at the top. But then sometimes I have to ask myself, yes, in my heart, I want God to be first, but how do my actions show what my true priorities are, right? Because wherever our time is spent, wherever our money is spent, wherever our mental energy is spent, that shows what our true priorities are and where our hearts really are at. So I have four different areas here of idols that we make, and sometimes we don't realize we've made them, but by our choices we make them, to help us cope when we aren't relying on God. So first of all, we create idols out of things that help us forget. If we're going through a hard time or we're feeling stressed, we just want to forget. So some people might turn to drugs or alcohol. Some people might turn to working too much. That's where I struggle sometimes. I just keep myself busy, right? I don't want to sit down and be quiet because, oh, then I'm going to have to think about the negative emotions or the things that are bothering me. So I just keep myself busy. Or distracting activities. There are lots of great, wonderful, pleasurable things that are pleasing to God that we might do, like a hobby we enjoy or whatever. But if we do it too much in excess, right, the balance isn't there, we're doing it so that we forget, like watching TV, right? It's okay to watch some TV, What if we're watching a ton of TV? Like when Van and I were married, we lived up in Mountaintop, so I wasn't near any family. We had just moved there, so I had no friends. And Van was working at Sears. He was working every night and every weekend. So I was very lonely. And I didn't want to feel lonely, but instead of turning to God and spending more time with God, or, you know, what I could have done, I just watched a lot of TV because it filled the time. It filled that space. So instead of feeling the negative emotions, I was filling my life with this idol of entertainment. And that's a struggle for me. You know, when I'm going through negative time, I just want to sit there and veg. And really, what would, I mean, do I feel any better afterwards? Not usually, you know. I might have distracted myself, and so I avoided dealing with those things. But that can be an idol for us, is just anything good in excess is unhealthy. So what we spend our time on to help us forget. So we have idols that help us forget. We have idols that help us cope, right, through really hard things. So like I said, entertainment in excess can help us cope, like, you know, spending too much time on video games or YouTube or television shows or whatever I'm doing. Excessive eating or drinking, right? Like, I need to cope with today, so I'm going to drink 5 cups of coffee today, you know. Or for me, I had a hard day, so I'm going to eat a lot of chocolate tonight, you know. But that's an idol that I'm using to help me cope instead of going to God, right? Smoking can be a cope because it helps the person relax, you know, it helps them to cope with their emotions. For me, this is something that I struggle with that helps me cope is anger. We were talking about this recently. It gives us this false sense of power. We think, oh, you know, everything feels so out of control. And so we just get angry and we feel like that's helping us be in control. But it's really just an illusion, right? Because God is in control. I'm not in control anyway. But feeling out of control, we get this false sense of it with anger. So that's another thing that we could be looking to instead of God. So idols that help us cope, forget, or things that help us feel happier, right? Like I said, with the negative emotions, maybe we don't just want to forget our bad emotions. We want to make ourselves feel happy. So instead of going to God, we might do, like I said, comfort food or drink certain things like, you know, that cup of coffee or that wine at night. And there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But when we go to them instead of God, when we know what we really need is just to spend some time with God and let Him fill us, then those things are taking the place of God. That's an idol then. And the last one I have is things that help us feel loved. So sometimes we want to fill our tank, but instead of spending time with people who love us or spending time with God, we go to social media, right, where we have friends who aren't really our friends, but we look for acceptance sometimes there instead. Like, you know, we post a picture and we keep checking it, you know, oh, has anyone liked it yet? Or what have people said about my picture? And that's our insecurity coming out there and trying to get our need for love met there instead of with God. Or some people, you know, have sex a lot. That makes them feel loved, but they're not really being loved. They're just having that feeling. Also, we have toxic relationships. How many of you know that can be an easy thing to fall into, and it's all over? I have 3 different examples for you here. Number one, a draining relationship, right? Where you're giving, and the other person seems to always be the one in need, and you're not receiving at all. But you stay in that relationship because you love to feel needed, or think that you're rescuing or helping the other person, but it's draining you, right? Or an abusive relationship where we're not being treated well, but we think maybe we deserve it, which is a lie. Another toxic relationship is a codependent relationship, which you guys have heard of. You have the 2 people. One is an enabler who says, you have to be happy for me to be happy, right? Or the other person, the dependent person, will say, Well, you're the one who makes me happy, so I'm not responsible for my own happiness. Right? Either one of those is toxic. Right? So we want to have real love, not these false sense of love or things that make us feel loved or needed or whatever. So all of those areas are idols. We think that they're helping us, but in reality, they are stealing from us, right? They're stealing our strength. They're stealing our joy. They steal our peace, right? They sometimes even steal our closeness with God because we're turning there instead of to God. And I had this dream probably like 6 months ago now, but it was so vivid. I still remember it. I had this dream that I was in this house and I was with a close friend of mine who's wonderful and I know her and I trust her. But for some reason, she had me confined in this bedroom and she wouldn't let me go out. Everyone was out having fun. She's like, no, you need to stay here. You can't come out. You can't participate with your family. You need to stay here. And I don't know about you, but I fly in some of my dreams. I flew out the window to get away from her. And I was up in the top of this really tall tree thinking she won't find me here, you know. But my kids were all like at the bottom of the tree because I was trying to keep them safe. And so she saw my kids and she was like, ha, she's in the tree. So she came and she found me. And I was like, no, I thought I finally got away from her. And I started screaming, you are not my friend. If you were my friend, you would let me be free. And I woke up yelling that. And I was like, that was a weird dream. And I was like, Lord, is it something about this person in my life? And he was like, no, she's a good friend. This is stuff in your life that you think is your friend, and it is not your friend. And so he showed me at that time, it was, for me, it was anger that I was using, that I thought anger was my friend and helped me, you know, to get through life and to cope and whatever. So there's sometimes stuff in our lives that we've been partnered with for so long, we're so comfortable with it, we think it's our friend. We think it's helping us, but it's stealing from us. And until we say to it, you are not my friend, get out of my life, it's going to keep stealing from us. We have to unpartner ourselves and break that friendship that we have decided to make with whatever it is, whatever that idol is that we're looking to instead of God, for God to be able to set us free from that thing. So it's our decision. We have to make a decision to get rid of something that we're carrying and remind ourselves that it cannot save us and it is instead taking me captive. Like at the beginning of Isaiah where it was saying with the idols, we think, you know, it's helping us, but it's taking us captive. So verses 8 through 10, he reminds us that when our hearts are wanting to rebel and to do our own thing, we're tempted to worry or to pick up one of these idols that I was just talking about. He says, remind yourselves of the ancient times. We need to remind ourselves of what God has already done in our past to meet our needs. Right? So if I'm feeling like I need love, right? And say, well, remember the last time you didn't feel loved and you met with God and you felt so much better afterwards, right? We need to remind ourselves. And he says, only he can save us. Only he can carry us. So whatever that thing is that we've been turning to instead of God will not satisfy like God. It might satisfy us a little bit so we feel a little better, but nothing can satisfy like God. He has us in his hands, carrying us, just like he promised earlier, and nothing can change his plans. He says that here, in verses 11 through 13 at the end. What I have planned, that I will do. And then he says, listen. He says that we are far from righteous. I am bringing my righteousness near. So can we make ourselves righteous? It's a yes or no question. No. Right. So as many times as we've had good intentions of not doing that thing again, right? How many of you know we tend to go back to that same thing again, right? Because we've made a pattern. We have a worn path there. And so it's harder to veer off that path than it is to keep circling, right? So how do we break free from these things? It says, he brings his righteousness near. Only He can do it. So I have a great picture from Scripture of this. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's 1 Samuel 5. And I shared this with the kids at camp, and they thought it was really cool. I do too. But there was, you know, the Philistines kept coming after the Israelites. Well, they captured them at this point, 1 Samuel 5. And they stole their idol, they thought, which was the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. So the Philistines think, oh, we're going to take their idol, and we're going to put it in the house of our god, Dagon, because Dagon is more powerful. We subdued Israel, so our God is stronger than their God. So they put the Ark of the Covenant at this like lower place in Dagon's temple. So Dagon is way up here, like on this altar, and the Ark of the Covenant's down here. So I'm going to read you the story. 1 Samuel 5, verses 1 through 5. After the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the Ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. They quickly took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning, when they rose, there was Dagon, fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. His head and hands were broken off, lying on the threshold, and only his body remained. That's why to this day, the priests of Dagon or no others who enter the temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. So they thought, you know, oh, this is just another idol, right? And they put it in the temple, but God cannot be carried, right? He carries us. Whatever we bring. Hello? You can hear? Oh, okay. So, like I said, how do we get rid of the idols we're carrying? The Ark of the Presence of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence. So whatever we bring into God's presence has to bow, just like this idol did. So if we want to get rid of something that we're carrying, we have to get into His presence. And then that thing will bow. But sometimes we haven't allowed Him into that room in our hearts where that thing is. We've held it sacred. We don't want to let go of it. So he can't do anything unless we allow Him into there, right? Because He's created us so that we have choices. And if we choose to not allow Him to take that or break that, He's not going to. So we allow His presence into there, and whatever that thing is must bow and break. The only way an idol survives in our lives is if we've removed God's presence from that area of our hearts. We haven't allowed Him to dwell there. It said His hands and His head were broken off, and all that was left was like His body. And the head and the hands represent like wisdom. Like He could not have the wisdom to save Himself, this fake God. And hands represent strength. He didn't have the strength to save Himself because God was more powerful. And sometimes we need to admit and realize, I don't have the strength to overcome this, Lord, by myself. And I don't have the wisdom to overcome this, Lord. I need You.